This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're going to be finishing up with Debussy's La Mer. Now, yesterday we talked about impressionism, symbolism, and how Debussy fit into it all. And the big takeaway was that Debussy, while sharing some superficial similarities with the impressionist painters like Monet and Degas, much preferred the symbolist label. And of course, you could say, well, who cares about labels? What do they really tell us anyway? Well, names can have a big impact on how we perceive things. Just take the name of this piece, La Mer. As a child, Debussy spent a lot of time at the sea on holidays with his parents. He even had plans to become a sailor in the Navy, which eventually took a backseat to his musical career. But he called the sea my old friend and said, "It is always endless and beautiful. It is really the thing in nature which best puts you in your place." So you'd think that he wrote this whole thing while living in some seaside town, maybe sitting on the cliffs watching the waves come in. And with Impressionist painters, that's what they'd do. They'd love painting their scenes in the open air, looking out onto the landscape they were painting, rather than sitting in a studio. But Debussy was not an Impressionist. He'd tell you that straight out. And he actually composed this in the hills of Burgundy, hundreds of miles away from the coast. Rather than going off the concrete example of the sea, he composed based off of his memories, which he said were worth more than reality. And he studied artists' representations of the sea, drawing inspiration from the ways that they depicted various aspects of the water, waves, and weather. Like we talked about yesterday, the physical reality of the sea and its concrete nature are less important to Debussy than its essence, a quality that he felt could only be approached symbolically rather than through direct representation. He did finally go to the coast when he was putting the finishing touches on the piece, but it owes a lot more to artistic renderings of seascapes than the actual sea itself. Once he did finish it, it wasn't all smooth sailing, if you'll pardon the pun. Audiences and critics were lukewarm at best. There were a lot of reviews that made the struggling to stay afloat or adrift at sea metaphors. Part of the issue was the fact that Debussy outright rejected a lot of the conventional techniques people expected from music. To use another water metaphor, music is often structured in waves. You get a buildup of tension, which is then released through a final cadence. Bum, bum, and then another wave of tension and release, tension and release. But Debussy doesn't do that. Everything just exists. Many of the dissonances he uses don't resolve to anything neat and tidy. Plus, he's often not that interested in recognizable melodies that have a beginning, middle, and end. He uses short phrases and tonal colors to paint his picture of the sea. And his rejection of convention led to a rejection of his music by a large swath of the conventional music community, including the orchestra that premiered this piece. Apparently, the string players tied white handkerchiefs to the end of their bows in protest, and Debussy blamed them for the bad reception at the premiere, saying they didn't play it right. But the key criticism from all involved was that they just didn't get it. They looked at the title, they said, La Mer, but what about this is supposed to represent the sea? Again, the key is understanding that there isn't a story. There wasn't even a sea in front of Debussy when he was writing this. It's an evocation of memories and some particular essence of the sea rather than a literal interpretation. And it's not him standing and trying to represent the sea in front of you. It's him trying to represent the emotions and the feelings and the ideas that you would get while standing in front of the sea. So here are the final two movements titled The Play of the Waves and The Dialogue Between the Wind and the Sea, played by the U.S. Air Force Band.
Thank you.
I've heard a few people say that Debussy's music is like the kind of music that you'd hear in a film. And I think that's really interesting because in a film, you would have the actual literal representation of something. You'd have the actors, the scenes, the actions going on. And the music is an overlay of that. It's trying to tell you the emotions and the feelings that you should have about that scene. And in many ways, that's what Debussy was trying to do. He wasn't concerned with those literal interpretations. He was going for something more abstract. Thanks to the U.S. Air Force Band for putting that up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and next week for your classical break, we're going to be listening to some Vivaldi, some Beethoven, and we'll start off on Monday with some guitar pieces in honor of Albéniz's birthday. See you then.